Attitudes, good, bad, or ugly, we all have them. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. In today's episode, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, Director of Eagles and Leadership, discusses one of the key attitudes that mark Jesus' disciples. Each attitude builds on the previous one, and together they form the disposition of a true child of God. Now let's open our Bibles to Matthew 5 and study one of the eight attitudes that ought to be in our lives as disciples of Jesus.
So being poor in spirit is about humbling, setting ourselves down. How far down?
All the way.
What do we wait for? We wait for the Master to promote us. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and in due season He will exalt you. He will. But if you're running around exalting yourself, if I'm running around telling everybody how wonderful I am, or not so much telling them, but carrying that air along with me, you can be sure that God's going to come along and pop that bubble. Because that's pride. You see, people can't humble themselves when they're filled with themselves. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay? You and I have to pay attention to our attitude. Now, I want to say it again. This is not something God does in you. This is something you do in you. And when you have a humble spirit, you are literally like a poor person. Now, the word poor here is not poor. The word is beggar. There was a guy outside of Starbucks tonight, and I watched him for an hour or so. He's a master at begging. Okay. Anybody see that story yesterday about the lady on the corner with the kid who was pregnant, okay, who got busted? She got into a $35,000 Mercedes with her significant other after she had been begging, and she'd been on that corner weekend after weekend. And then she went to go live in a house that the rent is $2,300 or $2,500 a month. Folks, I knew of a guy when I was in college, like you are in college, when I was in Chicago, who that was his job. He was downtown at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he was there for the rush hour begging, and then he would just do stuff in the city, and then he would grab the night group as well, and then he would get back on the train after going in and cleaning himself up, and he would go to his quarter. Now, this is 1978. He would go to his quarter of $1 million home in the evening. That was his job, all IRS free, until he got exposed by the Chicago Tribune's reporters. Listen to me. Some people beg for profit, but most of the people you know beg for life. That's for life. That's what this is. You see, you have to take on the attitude and the understanding that everything you possess has been given by God. It's a gift. And you don't deserve anything. We all deserve only one thing. What do we deserve? We deserve death. We deserve hell. The wages of sin is death. You say, well, yeah, but the free gift of God. Yeah, just drop the free gift. You don't deserve it. It's free. But it's a gift. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. The trouble is we somehow get saved and the gospel changes. That's what Paul warned about in Galatians. Watch out when they come up with a new gospel. The gospel changes. Jesus says this is the attitude of a beggar. In my spirit. The location of this attitude of begging is in my spirit. And it comes out with a tremendous change. Now, when we are reviled, we bless. How do I know when this attitude is actually more than head knowledge?
It's in your actions.
Yeah, But how, when do, let me change the question. When do I know this is true? That was a good answer, but it was a wrong question. When do I know this is true? When do I know this is true? It's not just information.
With the actions.
Yeah, when? Nothing is dynamic until it is specific. Don't give me them Sunday school answers. Giving you a little leeway there because you were sick. Are you better now?
I am. I'm better.
Okay, good. Then no more leeway. That's it. Okay.
Will it be in how I respond in the moment of my...
Keep going. That train's in the right place. Keep going. Just keep running. How I respond in the moment...
When my fruit is being bitten.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Yes. Now there. This is what we call listening. Okay? Yes. That's what we call listening. Okay? Okay? The fruit of the Spirit are only evidenced when, just like any other fruit, you bite into the fruit, whether it's sweet or sour. And so, because in reality, the only way you're going to pass the eternal test is this one. It's the first one out of the bag. I want to remind you, they're going to get worse. For those who want to walk in the flesh, they get worse. For those who are walking in the Spirit, they're that's what I do. Uh-huh. I understand this. I've been a pastor for over 30 years. And there are always a group of people in every church who feel that it's their obligation to take on the pastor, so to speak. They have a better understanding of spiritual truth than the pastor. They feel obligated to keep him humble. Okay? They're always mean. Now, I'm not talking about the occasional disagreement. Don't mishear me. Listen, if you have a tendency to criticize, you have not mastered this. If you have a tendency to judge with vindictive motive, by the way, we are supposed to judge people inside the church. We just learned that last night again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that. But not motive. When you have that vindictive heart, you're actually saying, I'm more important than you are. My friend Mike and I were always talking. We've been friends since Christ, which was 1973. Okay, we've been friends. He got saved about a week and a half, 2 weeks before I did. Okay. We always talk about, because he's a radio personality back east in his hometown. And he's somebody, you know, in his hometown, he's somebody. And so I'm always telling him, well, why don't you just tell them who you are? So he does that to me all the time. I said, well, I do, and it doesn't do any good. Because I just say, I'm a printer's son from Wisconsin. They go, so what? And they just move on. What do I tell you? When I tell you my opinion, what do I say? My opinion in $5,
buy
a cup of coffee at Starbucks. You can see how important my opinion is, okay? It doesn't press a lot of weight, okay? You see, I understand who I am. I teach the Word of God with confidence. But I will never attempt to give you the idea that I'm somebody that I'm not. I'm just a printer's son from Wisconsin. That's it. Now, in Christ, when I have to defend the flock from some form of wolf or bear or lion, you don't want to be in front of me. You want to be behind me. You do not want to be the bear, the wolf, or the lion. So I have taken many of them out in my day, and I'll do it again because I'm defending the flock. It's not me. See the difference? You're not being a pushover, but you're understanding that it's never about you. You are, listen to me, there's three parts to this. Listen to all three or you're going to go out of here mistaken. You are insignificant. Remember? Every knee will bow. That means I'm not the agenda. It's not my life I'm living. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's part one of it. answer. Part two is you're fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves you. Filled with sin, that's terrible. And that's why he sent his son to save you. He loves you. That's part three. But part one is, it's not about you. Never has been about you. It's about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Part three, he loves you. Yeah. And you can find that message, all three messages, by the way, from Genesis to Revelation. You find all three messages. They just flow through the text. Flow through the text. But it's never about you. The preacher gets up and he starts telling you that God wants you this and he because you are that. And you start, you guys just, whoa, wait a minute. Let's check some of this out. Before we, I mean, some of it might be true. Let's just check that out first, though. I like people who stroke me, don't you? I like people who tell me I'm wonderful. Trust me, I go home and I know better. Okay? I live with me. That's just a preacher trying to get my check. Okay, Dad? Listen, that's why we say in theology that we are totally depraved, which means every ounce of our being is contaminated with sin. If we were so wonderful, why do we keep fighting this sin? I've been walking with Christ now for 4 decades. Think it would get easier. I've got news for you. It doesn't. Never gets easier. Do I sin as much as I used to? No, I don't. I've told you, I can go days without sin. Go days without sin, sure. Is it any easier to fight sin? No. It's when sin rears its ugly head. And you know how this feeds sin? It's the Burger King method. Have it your way. Have it your way. Or this one. Do you know this one? You deserve a break today. Yes, you do. You deserve something else broken in your life. Sin. But you don't deserve it the way they mean it. Okay? How about this one? Sprite or 7-Up. I can't remember. I think it's Sprite. Feed your thirst. Yeah, you know what happens when you feed your thirst, right? Right? So this attitude is about, I need to set myself down and wait for the master to promote me. You got to humble yourself. Because if you want to be exalted and the master comes along, he don't promote people who are full of themselves. And you remember, as LaRue told us about in that story that Jesus told, you picked the wrong chair, and all you've got left is the last chair. Mm-hmm. So there ought to always be a fight in our attitude mm-hmm. for the low place. Mm-hmm. Ought to be always the learner, mm-hmm. always the, okay, I defer. Now the word that I love here is this word that I just mentioned, is this word. It's not a word that's used very often. We talk about deference, to defer, which means to let the other person go first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is an attitude that comes, let the other person go first. Yes, okay. That is the attitude mm-hmm. of having this beggarly spirit inside our being. We understand that if it was not for the grace of God, there would be nothing. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, mm-hmm. first of all, we wouldn't even have the option to be saved. Second of all, we wouldn't be saved because there would be no Christ. And we would be, as Gentiles, lost. What Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we would be without hope and without help in this present world and in the next. So every day I have to go back and say the same things that the wise said. Not my will, mm-hmm. yours be done, mm-hmm. and he must increase, I must decrease. Now.
Hashtag.
I must decrease. Now, the way this works is very simple. You can know it until hell freezes over, and it's totally irrelevant. But as Yasmin so correctly said, it's when you're bitten that we find out if you actually believe this stuff. Pretending reveals. Problems aren't your problem. Problems reveal your problem. Yes, that's a quote. Problems aren't your problem. Problems reveal your problems. Now, you can't fake character. You can't fake character. Do you know the people who pretend, but they never say thank you? Ever? You can't fake character. It's not possible. Your character always speaks louder through your actions than your words do. You can't fake it. So you have to work at it. Now, how do you work at it? We're going to give you a project here, okay? Here's the project. Set yourself down. In every situation, set yourself down. Somebody asks you to do something, say sure. It might be beneath you because we know you happen to be all the cheese and half the macaroni in the middle of the thing. Okay? Or I might be driving by you on the freeway and I found out you were the center of the universe. That's why you went across three lanes to get across and almost killed 19 people. Well, I understand. Understand when you say, no, I don't have the time for that. Or, it's got to be my way, or else I'm not in it. I clean toilets at Starbucks. What do you do? I go to the bathroom. If it's dirty, I clean it. I don't work there. When Albertsons was around, I cleaned the bathroom at Albertsons. In fact, you're kind of noticing a trend. I clean the bathroom wherever I go. They're not my bathrooms. Because I'm just a printer's son from Wisconsin. I don't know who you think you are, but until you clean bathrooms for people that can't give you anything in return, you probably are too much in your own opinion. You know what some of those bathrooms are like. Some of you ladies have been in it just before I cleaned it. Ooh, mercy. Now, I'm sorry, that's just the truth. I learned this back in high school when I worked at a gas station and my job was to clean the toilets. Men's bathroom, you know, guys, they just can't hit the trash can. They're playing basketball. Women, they feel like they got to throw stuff everywhere. I don't know what that is all about. And I'm telling you, I was cleaning when I was a janitor in college. Same thing again. Oh, I'm telling you, I go to the bathroom at Starbucks. I clean it up. Three ladies go in. I have to go back. I'm an older guy. I had to go back in the bathroom again. Go back in the bathroom. Guess what? Three ladies went in the bathroom. Come back out. Guess what? That bathroom I just cleaned. You couldn't tell. I said, what is this about? You guys get, what, medals for this stuff? I don't get it. Then that guy came in and put all them women to shame. Because they surely weren't not in his league. And everything was a mess. I didn't have a mop. I needed a mop. I cleaned it anyway. Okay? Cleaned it anyway. Now I lost all the rewards that come from that stuff because you just found out. I'm trying to teach you a point here. It cost me dearly in heaven just now for teaching that point. You ought to appreciate it. Some of you are walking out of here with a self-righteous, who does he think he is? I'm talking to you. Running around. That is the surefire road to falling off the cliff. Every time. Every time. If not here, you just got to stand in front of Jesus. I told you about 1 Corinthians 3. Got to go home and read it. 10 through 17. Just read it again. We taught it last night. People who live for themselves fry. Well, they don't fry. All of their works fry. That's the first attitude. The scale for this beatitude, poor in spirit, starts at poor in spirit on one side and goes over to banger on the other side. Poor in spirit on one side, banger on the other side. You know the banger. The absolute opposite of poor inside. They think they are everything. Center of the universe. In their spirit. A gangbanger?
No, a banger.
A banger, gangbanger. A gangbanger is the opposite. All the way over from poor in spirit over to a gangbanger. A banger is this. This is what a banger is. I would see this all the time when I had four gangs fighting for the territory that our church was at, that I was brought into to pastor back in 1988, and they were having this great big gang war, and I just had to keep going up to them and keep saying, "Excuse me, this is my territory. I don't know who you think you are, but this is my territory. Actually, technically, it doesn't belong to me. I'm delivering a message. Who are you? I'm the pastor here. Okay, Father." They're all Mexicans. "Okay, Father. Why do you think this is your territory?" "I'll tell you exactly why. Because I'm the protector. And you don't want to mess with my father. If you mess with me, he'll take you out. He'll fry you in hell." Paul says, "Whoever destroys this body, the Father will destroy." Yeesh. Now, poor in spirit means I'm nobody. Listen, y'all don't have to listen to me. That's fine. You can all go home. Because you don't listen to me, then Dr. Underwood comes in and he just kind of, "Doop, you're done, doop, you're done, doop, you're done." Same thing at work, right? You don't listen to the boss. You don't have to listen to the boss. I mean, you're so important. You can come in 25, 35 minutes late, leave, have 2-hour lunches, leave in half an hour. You can do that. It's okay. And then the boss just says, "You know, I've been thinking, you're right. I was wrong. Why don't you just stay home all the time?
Do I get paid?"
Then we deal with the IQ test, and you failed, okay? So, when we're dealing with this, this is what I want to see for the rest of the year. Okay? That's what I want to see for the rest of the year.
And with that last word, Dr. Smith wraps up today's episode of the Transformed Podcast. Would you consider leaving a comment on the website, sharing your thoughts about the podcast today? And have you considered diving deeper into God's Word so you might know Him better? This year, let us suggest giving yourself the gift that gives every day of the new year. Dr. Smith has written 2 daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement, into the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page, and never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us, by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link at the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Hawthorne, California. And now until next time, we are praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.